If you would open your Bibles to 1 Peter or turn on your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. And while you're doing that, if you would turn your attention to the screen. Pardon? Thank you, but no. All right, if you've turned in your Bibles to this passage, we're going to be beginning a brand new series, as you can tell by having new notes in your worship guides. So it's important for us to remember what the psalmist was pointing out to me just yesterday again in Psalm 119. And verse 105, he said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And it's so important for us to find ourselves in this brand new year. We have this time to do a restart. Some of you already have your year mapped out biblically. Some of you have taken those read through the Bible guides that were in the worship guide last Sunday, and you've begun. Some of you are even already way ahead, and that's good because there are times when you're not feeling so well and you could fall behind. But for you who are going through the Word of God, during this year, you're going to be tremendously, tremendously blessed. He's going to point things out to you during your deep personal experience times with him on a daily basis. Places he wants you to go, things he wants you to do, things he wants you to meditate upon and make the necessary changes potentially in your life. He's already begun to show me those things as well. One of the things that has grabbed me as one of the leaders in the church is that I haven't reached the zenith of being a leader. I'm not at that apex. There are still a great number of things that I could grow in, and they are right here in this wonderful love letter for us. The series that I'm entering into this morning is not going to last but a couple of weeks. It's important for all of us to pay close attention going into this new year as to what he's pointing out to us through the Word of God. Becoming a well-respected leader. A month and a half ago, you gave me three men to come around alongside me and to shepherd you. You gave me Chris Wright. You gave me Gary Rasmussen. And you stuck me with Pastor Eugene. And as we move together, these three individuals, I'm going to be speaking more directly to them in this series than to you. But bear in mind this, if you're a Christian, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is nothing that I'm going to share that isn't directly meant for you as well. If you're a Christian, then you're a leader. People look to you because you're an imitator of God, or we're supposed to be. And as an imitator of God, you are someone who has been touched deeply by God himself. And you've been moved from being the person you were before Christ to becoming this person in Christ that your Heavenly Father wants you to be as his son or his daughter. But as I say, I'm going to be speaking to four men in particular, and that would be Chris and Gary and Eugene and me, because we need to be becoming much more greater respected leaders, even as you do. As I begin, gentlemen, I would share with you that you were designed for great accomplishment, because the Lord has raised you up to be four very important people in the life of our church family. And trust me, there is growth that needs to be had in all four of our lives, because I've come to know all of us. I certainly need greater growth. So you were designed, you were intentionally planned for success. Success as a leader on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are meant to accomplish much this year, gentlemen. Our church family is depending upon you as an individual and on us as a council of elders. You were engineered, you were created for success. We have the Holy Spirit in all four of us. When we meet together, the four of us, the Holy Spirit is with us to lead and to guide and to help us be open to what he wants accomplished. He's not interested in any particular thing that we want to do individually. He wants us to be leading the church collectively and in agreement. He believes that we can accomplish much because we were engineered by him for success. And we have been endowed with seeds of greatness. All of you have been endowed with seeds for greatness in this new year, family. Every single one of you. You've been endowed with the Holy Spirit, and therefore you yourselves can bless other people with your humility. You can be a blessing in the lives of countless people because of your willingness to be forgiving. You're a forgiver because of the meekness that God the Holy Spirit has given you. And this strange desire that you have to come alongside people in need and help them. At the time that you gave your life to Christ, and you might want to give yourself in freshness and newness going into the next 8 days of this brand new year, you might want to share with him how much you love him, how much you agape him. And what you're doing to demonstrate to him how much you're seeking his best, his greatest good at your expense. You want to share this unconditional love with the people around you, the people you meet, not necessarily other Christians. Hopefully with other Christians, yes, but you'll be doing this with the people you go to work with tomorrow. Or when school opens again, those people you sit in class with. The folks that are in your family, they need a special touch from God, but through you, because you are a leader in your home. Mom, Dad, you are leaders in your home. Your kids are looking toward you, and they see you as an example, hopefully an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are pointing out things to one another, you know, holding each other to a higher standard many times. But we all have the standard of Christ before us. We have this wonderful seed of agape love in us. But not only agape love, but he has given each of you this wonderful, beautiful seed that is growing in you, that is phileo love, brotherly love, love for the family. And then through your time with the Lord over the course of these next several days, leading hopefully into months, 12 of them, where you'll find yourself very comfortable in what we call storge love. This love is a comfortability love. I feel very comfortable in being with Jesus. I don't feel like he's a stranger. He is like, well, yes, he's my Lord, but he is also my brother. And he is a wonderful friend. And he has demonstrated his willingness to give his very life for you as an individual and for me. But you have this love and this supernatural joy, supernatural peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these things were given to you as seeds of greatness because they're each one supernatural. As you are connected to the vine and his power is flowing into you as a branch, the fruit will grow and grow, and you will be a tremendous blessing, a great leader for people to follow in this coming year. So as I return and speak about leaders, we have core value teams. And the leaders of these core value teams, this is the time to call your co-leader and begin talking about the new year. What are we going to do in this core value team, such as the joyful service team? Are you talking as leaders and getting ready to call your team together so that you can move forward in the things that Jesus would like to see accomplished in the new year? We have the God-glorifying worship core value team. It's time to talk more about what you might be able to do besides Sunday morning, besides what will take place in latter portions of the year, such as our Thanksgiving Tuesday or the soup and sing. Are there other things that Jesus would have you do since you bring people so close to the Lord in musical prayers? We have a missions core value team. How is that shaping up, or has it begun yet? When does that first meeting take place? Do we have missionaries that are going to come and visit us as we did last year? We would love to hear from you about them who are coming and what their needs might be and how we might come alongside and be of help to them. And then we have leaders for our faithful prayer team and our authentic love team, as well as our biblical teaching and training. So here we are. We have a restart that is before us for this new year. And leaders have been raised up. So it's time now to begin to do the things that we are called to be doing. And then as we begin this new year, I call the elders again to look at those three questions that are before us every time we begin a brand new series. You find them in the message notes, at least that I write, because it's important that we not only hear the word, that we come and listen, but that we find ourselves being doers of the word as our teachers come before us in the power of the Holy Spirit and share his messages with us. We need to be doing these things, not just listening. Far too many Christians across America get really fat on the word, but they are not muscular because they're not doing it. This is what GHCC needs to be very much aware of as we begin this brand new month in a brand new year. So leadership is influence. Would you say that with me? Leadership is influence. And the quickest way to see if you're a leader is to look over your left or your right shoulder and see if there's anyone following you. Because if there isn't, you're not a leader. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said the following during World War II. It is a terrible thing to look over your shoulder when you are trying to lead and find no one there. And that's true. So we need to each one find ourselves in one of our core value teams and coming alongside our leaders of these teams and making decisions as to what Jesus, as after we prayerfully meet, would have us do in the coming months of this new year. If leadership is influence, then influence should earn one's respect. If you don't have the respect of others, you're not anyone. So what do you say in this new year? Are you willing to move forward with Chris and with Gary and with Pastor Eugene and myself and the other leaders in this church and to strengthen them to do the things that they will little by little be calling each of us to be prayerfully considering to be a part of in this new year? Who can you come alongside of, since we're all technically, as Christians, leaders? Who can you come and help to deploy their potential? My prayer for each of us is that we will reach greater fullness of our potential for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as you look at your notes, how can you become a leader who people respect? I'm talking to all of us, but I'm really focusing, remember, on four men. How can you become a leader that people respect? By developing these six characteristics with a healthy and a joyful attitude. By receiving these things and developing them with the Holy Spirit. The first thing, the first characteristic I would call to all of our attention is integrity. But Chris, Gary, Eugene, and myself, I'm asking you, have you thought much about your own personal integrity? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 through 16, let's read this aloud together, shall we? For this is the will of God. Stop there. What did he say? This is the will of God. That's coming up, right? What he's going to share with us. This is the will of God. This isn't Ron's thing. This is the will of God. So let's begin at the beginning again and read it aloud. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Do you see yourself as a servant of God? Are you one that, well, you come into his room and you bring something for him. You bring an item of comfort for your Heavenly Father. Or do you understand what doulos really means? We are to come before him knowing that he's a loving, gracious, merciful, gentle Heavenly Father. He's Abba, our papa, our daddy. But we are to come before him, the Holy Spirit told us here in this passage through Peter. He told us to come as servants. But you see, the people who interpreted this, they interpreted because they wanted it to sound soft. The word there for doulos means slave. Slave. Our country went through a period of slavery. That was a horrible, horrible time for our country. But this is what we are to see ourselves as, not simply his sweet daughters and his sons, but to understand that we have a benevolent master as well. When we call him Lord, that comes from the word kyrios. And kyrios means that he is master. He is master. And so we come before him like a slave at times, but to understand not what we think of when we think of slavery and what it was in our country, but we come before him and we've renounced what we believe to be our rights. We renounce our rights, and whatever he wants, we need to think about how is it that we as an individual can go about doing it and be pleasing to him. The fact is, as you look at your notes, integrity, and I love this word that you're going to use as a fill-in, impeccable moral fiber. Those three guys you gave me and who are to remind me, we need to live before you with integrity, impeccable moral fiber, and purity of life are all effective character tools to muzzle the enemies of Christianity. When they see in us those things that are of tremendous moral quality, when they see the fruit of the Spirit manifested in our lives, they find us being gentle. They find us being kind. They don't find us getting upset and tearing people apart. Parents can do this, right? Kids can do it to their siblings. But as Christians, we have a Holy Spirit who lives within us, and He will be very active in our lives if we set aside our humanness and put on the new person that we have become in Christ Jesus. Paul commanded Titus to tell the new believers on Crete the following. The Holy Spirit has had Paul instruct Titus, his second son in the faith, in this way. He says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Now, what do you think of when you think of submissiveness? It's a bit different in the context in which we find this word this morning. When he says, remind them to be submissive, he is saying to them, remind them to be blasphemio. Blasphemio. We get our word blaspheme from it. And what he is saying here is that remind these brand new Christians on the Isle of Crete, remind them that they are to, not be speaking against in a blaspheming way. They are not to be speaking in such a way as to hurt the rulers, the people here who are our authorities. I'm not supposed to think, and I have to confess and repent because I don't find myself, if I don't say it out loud, oftentimes I'm thinking things that I shouldn't be thinking about our president. Likewise for our governor, our mayor. I need to confess and repent of the things that I think. And when I pray for them, I need to earnestly pray for them because I find myself simply doing a duty because Jesus said I need to do it. Like here, the Holy Spirit is saying, remind them to be submissive to their rulers and authorities. He's calling on me not to speak evil about them. And he goes on and says, and remind them to be obedient, to obey the rulers and authorities. But we understand that we are to obey them only in as far as they are not giving us policies, rules, laws that are anti-Christ. Rules that are not anti are the Godhead, that are not anti the Bible. Anything that a ruler or an authority of a secular nature gives us, or even a religious one. If I give you some bogus information, you can tell me to go pound sand. Because if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then we don't have to do it. If a ruler or an authority speaks to us about doing something that is anti-Christ. Be ready for every good work, agathos, every beneficial, good character work, because we know from our study of Matthew chapter 5 and verses, I think it was 15 through 16, 14 through 16, that you and I are to be light in this world. We are the light of this world. He has given us his Spirit. He lives in us. We are to be doing the good works that he wants us to do. Not so other people will pat us on the back, but so that other people will see that what we're doing is God's good works, and not glorify us, but glorify our Father who is in heaven. So we are to be doing every good work. We're to speak evil, that is to slander, to malign no one. We are to avoid fighting, quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Now, I can't say I've done that with perfection, but what he is saying to us this morning, this is something we are all to be doing, but especially to those of us who are leaders. We're not to be quarreling with the church family. We're not to be quarreling with one another. We are to find ourselves being obedient to the Word of God. That's who we are to be obedient to. We are to find ourselves leading the church family, the elders, in doing good, good works, these works that are beneficial to others and will bless them. We are to demonstrate courtesy to other people. And if we have not been courteous to someone, and we know it, we need to set the example as the leaders in the church and go to that other leader or go to that sheep and tell them, would you please forgive me for the way I've conducted myself? I sinned against you and I am sorry. I am sorry. And if there's anyone here this morning, or you have talked among yourselves with someone who is not here this morning, that I need to apologize to, you need to make me aware of that so that I can go and ask them to forgive me for whatever wrong I may have done. I may have known I did it. I may not know I did it. But I need to go and share with them, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Looking at verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish. And this word here in the Greek, it's speaking of lacking intelligence. For we ourselves were once lacking intelligence, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. And that word slaves here is the same term. And they interpret it as a slave as opposed to a servant. Led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice. In kakaya, it's doing something bad, wicked, evil. We have spent days in the past doing these things with malice and envy, jealousy, hated by others and hating one another. We need to ask people to forgive us for our wrong actions. Action step. Such virtuous conduct and good citizenship is especially necessary for church leaders. It is especially necessary for those of us who lead core value teams, for those of us who are elders. But when you look at this family, as you read what was said in Titus 3, 1 through 3, what in that passage is not for every Christian besides leaders? It's there for all of us. We can't go, oh boy, that leader, I know I can go smack him on the nose for this one. Look in the mirror and see if you can get smacked on the nose yourself. But if you're hurting because a leader has hurt you in this church, our church has been known for decades as a church where others come from other churches to get healed. And I love that. But there are times when we have let down one another. So if you're hurting, you know you need to go to the person who caused you to hurt. And you go to them in love. And you talk with them about it. And you seek their understanding. And it's good to do it at the beginning of the year, so that we're free as we move through the rest of the year and more can be accomplished, because he plans to make accomplish so much through each of us, because we're each one created that way. We have the ingredients, as I shared at the very beginning of the message. So fact. One of the qualifications to be an elder is that the man must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And I've given you a couple other passages to look at on your own, family, but I am asking Chris and Gary and Eugene to look at these passages over again. We need to be the ones that lead our church family in an understanding of these things. And first, we have to understand it, own it, and live it ourselves. That kind of unimpeachable testimony, even before those who reject the gospel, silence enemies and enables the saving power of Jesus to be manifested in each of our lives. Integrity is the foundation of any good relationship, looking at your notes. Your character as a leader or a non-leader matters. Dwight Lyman Moody, D.L. Moody, said, quote, character is what you are in the dark, end of quote. In other words, your character is who you are when nobody's watching. A reputation isn't the same as character. People build reputation instantly, but it takes a lifetime to build good character. We actually have to think about the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit if we're going to see them being manifested. We talk about loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And this is the first commandment. But it is something we find ourselves doing. And then Jesus said, I want you to love one another exactly as I have loved you. Is that what we find ourselves doing? Because if we're not doing these things, then who is? You and I have the supernatural power to do this with his help. Every single moment of every single day. And we're in a brand new year. And if you can point back with yourself and say, that wasn't me last year, then what about this year? What about this year? Someone said the key to a good reputation is having good character. And character is what you have left when you've lost your reputation. So which of us in the church don't need to have a good reputation outside the church? Is there anyone here who should not have a good reputation outside the church? No. You see, we're all leaders. But God has raised up 4 men in this church to be elders. And to be an elder is to be someone who is to be respected and someone who has earned that respect and is earning that respect. Because he is following after the Lord Jesus Christ and living out the fruit of the Spirit. And there's no reason why any of us can't live out the fruit of the Spirit unless, one, we're not a Christian. Because if we are, then he's the vine, we're the branches. And he is putting his power into the branches as we seek it. The leader who walks with integrity is free to be confident. Not arrogant, but confident and humble. They're not afraid of anything because, you see, they don't have any skeletons in their closets. Genuinely confident people aren't ashamed of anything. They have nothing to hide. And they're always willing when they have slipped and sinned to ask for forgiveness and move on. The question before us here is, how can you become a leader who people respect? You develop integrity. You develop integrity. Gentlemen, ladies, this is the first action step. We move towards developing integrity in our lives. This is what's going to help us in becoming well-respected leaders. And those of us that don't want to be considered a leader, then you can consider yourself someone who is becoming a well-respected Christian. But all Christians, as I said earlier, are leaders. And we need to be mindful of that. So let us move in this direction first towards integrity. Let us find ourselves being conformed to the image of Christ. If anyone had integrity, it's him. So let us find ourselves with him on a daily basis, in his word, reading this love letter and letting him speak to us and tell us how we're doing, what we need to be doing next. And how he'll come alongside and help us. He wants each of us to have greater integrity than we already have, even those of you who have tremendous integrity. Get it? Good. 5 more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for You're living, active, authoritative, inspired, God-breathed out word. How you speak to us and you don't speak to us in harsh terms. Yes, you will correct your kids, but you don't punish your kids. You love us, each and every one who belong to your Father. We thank you that you've made a way for each of us to be in your family. We thank you that being in your family, we can look to you and grow by your example to us to become the sons and daughters that your dad intended us to grow into and to be in the coming weeks of this brand new year. So may we find each of ourselves bowing before you, literally, lying prostrate maybe, and asking you, again, one, to forgive us, and two, to enliven supernaturally these character gifts that you provided us, that we might be pleasing to you in the time ahead, and that we might be a blessing sent from you into the lives of this church family and friends of ours and people we don't even know. For I ask these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.